This morning I'd like to draw your attention to Malachi chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, where the Lord declares, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, why? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? And did not he make one? And yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that ye might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away or divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously." As we look at the background for the text, Malachi is talking to the people who had returned from the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem. They had come back with high hopes of the reestablishing of a spiritual nation. But it was much harder than what they had anticipated. And the work on the temple had ceased as people became involved in their own interest. Haggai came along and encouraged them to return to the work of the rebuilding of the temple, and they finished it. And then Nehemiah came and helped them and directed them into the building of the walls around Jerusalem. But though they were safe and secure from the standpoint that they now had the walls around them, and they were coming along still, there was this spiritual evil that was in their hearts, and it was permeating their whole relationship with God and hence with each other. And so Malachi came along about 40 years or so after the time of Nehemiah. And by this time, there had been quite a spiritual declension. And so he opens his book by declaring, "This is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And God began to speak through Malachi of his grievances or complaints against the people. God declared that they weren't really honoring him, that they had no reverence for him. They were supposed to be serving God, but they weren't obeying God. And unfortunately, the priests were the ones who led in this contempt and disrespect for God. They were saying that the table of the Lord was contemptible. And they were offering to God sacrifices of sick animals, lame animals, animals that have been torn by the coyotes or by the wolves, or in a sense, if you put it today in the modern vernacular, they were bringing roadkill and offering it as a sacrifice on the altar before the Lord. And they were mercenaries. They were serving God for money, actually. God sort of complained that they wouldn't even open the doors of the temple for nothing. In other words, they wanted to be paid for everything they did. They had forsaken the law of God. They were profaning the Sabbath day, according to Nehemiah. And they had begun to marry the people of the land around them, Moabites, Ammonites, and so forth, those from Ashdod. Now, the interesting thing to me is that in spite of all of these failures and evil, God declared that he loved them. That was the first message to God before he got into the rebuke. It's, I love you. But they even challenged the love of God. It's interesting to me that though we may fail, God's love never fails. Now, this is not to infer that you can get by with evil. You punish your child when they are doing things that are dangerous and are a threat to their own safety because you love your child. And because God does love you, he will deal severely with you when you are doing those things that are a danger to your relationship with him and thus your eternal future. And so, God in his love is dealing with the issues that he observed among the people. And God announces his judgments. In chapter 1, verse 10 of Malachi, he said he had no pleasure in the people, and he would no longer accept their offerings. Chapter 2, verse 1, he declares that he's going to send a curse upon them. And in verse 9 of chapter 2, he was going to make them base and contemptible before the people because they said the serving God is a contemptible thing. God said, I will make you contemptible before the people. And the Lord was going to cut off those people that were doing these things. He was not going to regard or accept their offerings anymore. And even though they covered their offerings with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, God would not regard it. And so they question, why won't God accept our offerings when we present them with tears? And so God then lays out his case against them. Because he declared, God has been a witness of the treacherous way the men were treating the wives of their youth. They had made divorce a very easy thing. All a man had to do was to say to his wife, I divorce you, three times. And she had to leave the house. The women had no rights. He could just write her a paper that declared, I divorce you, and hand it to her, and she had to leave. He could walk out on her anytime he pleased and leave her destitute. Now, in the land, there were all of these pretty young girls, Moabites, the girls from Ashdod, and they were people without any scruples, without any standards. And these young girls were just looking for someone to take care of them. An older man who had now gained a little wealth or a few possessions looked like a good meal ticket. And so they would flirt with these older fellows. And of course, they knew that these older men were really suckers for a pretty young girl flirting with them. There is that thing of the male ego. You don't think you really look any older. You feel that you're as handsome and virile as ever. And it's sort of flattering to have a cute little girl smiling at you and flirting with you. And so they would be enamored with these young girls. And they would then write out a bill of divorcement to their wives, and would take up with these young, pretty lasses in the land. God said that your wife has been your companion, and he had made you one with her. The law said, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. She is your companion. She stood by you through all of the lean days when you were first starting out. She joined in the sacrifices that were necessary in those early years to get started. She bore your children. And she remained a faithful mother and a housewife. But now she is being discarded, God said. You are dealing treacherously with her. The years of sacrifice and struggle have taken their toll. The children, for the most part, are grown. And maybe her face shows some of the strains of the earlier years. She's no longer the young, vivacious doll that you married. And at the office, there's this young, pretty little girl with no moral values who keeps catching your eye and smiling at you. And you're flattered that she would even look your direction. And so you invite her out to lunch, which she eagerly accepts. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. You're having some of those same feelings that you had back in your high school years. And you begin to tell yourself that you're no longer in love with your wife. And you question if you were ever really in love with her. And as the new relationship develops, you begin to ignore your wife. She begins to ask you about why you're gone. You don't want to give her any explanations. And you begin to get angry with her for her suspicions. And soon you're in yelling matches, and this only confirms that you never should have married her in the first place. And after one of her tirades against you, you walk out, causing her to feel guilty like it was her fault because she railed on you, and thus you were leaving, when in reality you're moving in on this new territory. This is what God meant when he said you were dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. How easy it is to forget those days gone by, those days when you were courting your wife of your youth, the excitement that you shared when you were together, how you wanted to be with her every night, how hard it was to say goodnight. You lingered until her parents turned on the lights to find out why she wasn't in. You wooed her, and you won her. You know, I can remember when the minister was counseling Kay and I before our marriage. We were holding hands, and he told us that we were going to have disagreements. We would actually become angry with each other. And we squeezed hands because we knew that this might happen to other people, but it was never going to happen to us. We'd already decided that we were so compatible. We liked everything each other liked. And of course, we would never argue over anything, ever. And I'll never forget my shock on our honeymoon. When I'd gone down to the lake to go swimming, and she wanted to stay there at the cabin, and I was gone longer than what she expected me to be or felt I should be. And so when I got back, she began to tell me how upset she was that I was gone so long. And I was totally shocked. I was taken back to receive rebuke. I thought that would never happen. But, you know, now I know all of her faults, and she knows all of mine. There are no secrets left. Everything is open and revealed. There's no mystique. And of course, she's not the girl that I married. And I'm not the young man she married. The changes have taken place through the years. But the years should only draw us closer together in that oneness that God declared should exist between husband and wife. The bottom line of the message of God was that he hated divorce. If God hates something, I better take care that I hate it also. The Lord's advice was to take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. God is warning you to watch out for attitudes that develop within your spirit. The bitterness, the things that irritate us, to sort of harbor our minds on these things. In the text that we read in Peter in our scripture reading, he talks about that bitterness that sometimes develops. So you have to take heed to your spirit. Peter said for the husbands not to be bitter towards their wife, and that's an attitude of the spirit. But the scripture tells us that we are to love our wives as we love ourselves. In fact, even more. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, you are very accepting and forgiving of your flaws and of your faults. And if you are forgiving of yourself those things that you do, then you ought also to be forgiving and understanding concerning your wife, to honor her as the weaker vessel, to recognize that she is not built in the same emotional way that you have been built, and to honor her, respect her for the differences that are there, because they are the things that really attracted you to her in the beginning. Take heed, the Lord said. Watch it. Take heed that you deal not treacherously. For you see, if you deal treacherously with the wife of your youth, if you put her away for someone who brings more excitement now into your life, someone that you find yourself attracted to, and you divorce your wife to take up this new relationship, you will discover, as God declares, all of your tears and weeping cannot reverse the mistake that a man makes when he leaves the wife of his youth in hopes of finding a more romantic and exciting experience with a new relationship. Because that new relationship is so costly, as far as the family, as far as the children, and the damage that has been done cannot be reversed with all of the tears and all of the weeping. And you find out so often that those waters that seemed so sweet have also become bitter. And you are the worse for the whole experience. It's interesting that God said, I am the one, I have witnessed your treachery. You thought it was something that was just within the confines of the four walls of your own house. No one knew how you were treating your wife. No one knew the abuse that you were heaping upon her, but God said, I was a witness to the treachery against the wife of your youth. A lot of you fellows, your wives are up at the conference center this morning, as my wife is up there. The wife of your youth, I pray that when she comes home, that you will love her and show her that love, even as Christ loved you, his church, and he showed his love by giving himself for you. God said concerning his law that it was the key to prosperity and happiness. May God help us to keep his law, especially in these very close and personal relationships. And may God help us that we would not deal treacherously with the wife of our youth. Father, help us this day to love as you loved, to show love as you showed your love. And Father, if there are marriages that have gone sour, if there is a third party that is interfering and drawing a man away from the wife of his youth and causing him to begin to mistreat her mentally, abusive, Father, we pray that we might realize how much you hate this kind of treachery. Lord, we see our nation and we see the turmoil and the chaos that has resulted from broken homes, broken marriages, by leaving, Lord, the covenant that we made when we stood before you and pledged to love until death did us part. Lord, may we not break covenant with you or with our wives or with our husbands, because we realize that it in this day is reversed, as wives have been granted equal rights with the husband. But Lord, heal the marriages. Return the love, the respect, the companionship, the unity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I think this is the first time I've ever spoken on this subject, but the Lord really impressed it upon my heart as I was going through Malachi. And I think it's an issue that we need to face in these days when the pressures against lasting marriages are so great, that we remember that we made a covenant with each other before God, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. May the Lord be with you, watch over, bless and keep you. And if today you feel in need of prayer, maybe your marriage is turning sour, and you just would like someone to pray with you about the situation that you're faced with, I believe that God can heal any relationship if we just get our priorities right and let God be upon the throne of our lives. And so you can go back to the prayer room, and there will be counselors back there to pray with you that God might work in your home, in your marriage, in your life.